Shiva. Keshava Mata Jai Deva Madhusudana Jai Keshava Madhava Jai Deva Madhusudana Jai Deva Madhusudana Netra Kamaladhar Ativa Manohar Netra Kamaladhar Ativa Manohar Antaryami Prabhu Parameshwar Antaryami Prabhu Parameshwar Maya Manush Vesh Liladhar Maya Manush Vesh Liladhar Maya Manush Vesh Liladhar Deva Madhusudana Jai Deva Madhusudana Jai Deva Madhusudana Keshava Madhava Keshava Madhava Jai Deva Madhusudana
बोले कृष्ण कन्हैया लाल की जय सच्चिदानंद रूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादि हेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्री कृष्णाय वयम् नमः श्री कृष्णाय वयम् नमः Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama Shri
शरणम मम श्रीकृष्ण शरणम मम श्रीकृष्ण शरणम मम श्रीकृष्ण
from Bhagavatam. And last night we saw Mahajana, Prahlad, and there are so many great devotees in this Bhagavatam, they no end. And not only mentioned in Bhagavatam, but since Bhagavatam has been there, there have been so many devotees of Bhagavatam. Not in Bhagavatam only, but of Bhagavatam. The great, great devotees, so many stories are there, no, you can't even count. Now today I want to see with you this very, very famous story of Raja Ambarish. Raja Ambarish, very well known, and his story is also a very long story. Come, there's space here. So it comes in the ninth canto, ninth skanda of this Bhagavatam, chapter 4. Ved Vyasji continues to relate. This Bhagavat Purana was composed by Ved Vyasji, and he taught it to his son Shukadev, and Shukadev taught it to Suta, and Suta taught it to all the rishis of Naimisharanya. And this is the account we are hearing now, which Suta taught in a forest named as Naimisharanya. So there are several people talking at the same time. That is to show how it has come down from one teacher to the next. This tradition has come down from one teacher to the next. All things we know come down like that, huh? Correct or not? All things which we know has come from somebody down to the other one, down to the other one. And if you have to trace it back all the way, well, it came from Bhagwan himself, the teaching. Like, for example, the microphone, how it works. Well, somebody would have invented it. Came up with this microphone. And where would he have gotten the knowledge from? Well, somebody before him invented electricity. So they taught him how electricity works, you know. Electricity is coming in here and circulating. So they have to teach him that principle, how the electricity works. And now based on that, he thought, oh, if in between the two wires we put something there that can vibrate with sound, that wave will be picked up in the electrical impulse that is going through the wire. So prior to him, if no electricity was there, no knowledge of electricity taught by somebody else, how he will make microphone? With a tin can and a piece of string? They do sometimes. That also same principle is being used. So somebody before has to be there to teach something about the principle of electricity and this and that. And the person who came up with electricity now, somebody had to teach him about wires conducting things. Wires can conduct. Or somebody told him about, or he read the Vedas and all, you know. All knowledge is there about bijli, you know, lightning. What really is there in lightning? So somewhere before somebody taught this and he picked up that little bit of knowledge and then he studied it well and then he added something to it. And like that it came on. And today we know everything. We don't have to do anything, isn't it? We only have to take our cell phones and how it works and all, nobody knows. We don't care also, as long as it works. So, Ved Vyasji taught to his son Shukadev, Shukadev to Sutji, Sutji to all the people of Naimisharanya, the saints, sages and all. And this is the account we get. So sometimes you'll see there, Vyasa Uvacha, Shukadev Uvacha, Suta Uvacha, like that. And Tulsi Ramayana, same thing. So we have a great respect and a reverence for tradition. You know, this one taught to this one taught to this one. And all of us should have. See, today, we have this Bhagavatam, right? And we are studying. Look, we have Sanskrit, and we have camps, and we have scripture, shastra, so many things we have studied. If somebody before us had not protected it and passed it down to us, what would we have? Nothing. Only Burger King and McDonald's. Nothing else to study, nothing philosophical. Western philosophical traditions still have to achieve the depths of all of this. So, we have a wonderful tradition handed down to us by this Ved Vyasji and all those who came after him. And thanks to them, today we can reflect on certain things. Now, here we are studying bhaktas in Bhagavatam. Bhakta is a devotee of God, one who loves Bhagwan more than him. Self. This is a simple definition. Who loves the Lord more than himself? And Bhagwan reciprocates. The Lord reciprocates by loving that devotee more than himself. That you'll see from here. He loves that devotee also more than himself. He tells here in this story of Ambarish, he loves his devotee more than himself or Lakshmi. He's the husband of Lakshmi, but he loves the devotee more than himself and Lakshmi together. This is when Bhagwan reciprocates our love. He has no choice but to love that devotee like that. Because the devotee doesn't love himself as much as he loves God. Just the Lord is like a mirror, you know. Just as much as devotion we have for him, he also has for us, love, like a mirror. A mirror doesn't choose. If you go in front of the mirror with a red chandan, a mirror will reflect only red or bindi or whatever. Red only, just same way. So Bhagavan is like that. Whatever love we offer, it reciprocates in the same vein. Now, this Ambarisha story, let me tell you how it goes now. Raja, Parikshit Maharaj, is asking to Shukadev, Ambarisho Mahabhagaha Saptadvipavati Mahim Avyayam Chashriyam Labdhva Vibhavam Chatulam Bhuvi. Sage, Shukadev, I want to hear this Ambarishaha Mahabhagaha Saptadvipavati Mahim, who ruled over the seven continents. This Ambarish, King Ambarish. Now see, this is a very old story. He used to rule over the seven continents at one time. And this earth has seen a lot. Don't doubt any of these things. This earth has seen a lot of upheavals and transformations and continents moving. And one time they said that the Himalayas is to be like oceans. And one plate from the south is moving and hits another plate or something, this one goes up and like that. And you listen to these geologists and all. Geologists, they call them, na? They are good at digging up things. So they dig up all of these stories of the past and they tell how this earth has transformed so many times. And India used to be somewhere near Australia. Have you seen? Things move and change and then continents all shift. We just live 70 or 80 years, so in that short time, we don't see much. But the earth has been there for billions of years, so all things that have happen and all. How many things. So Raja Ambarish, he used to rule over the 7 continents at one time. Like that is how it starts. And Shukadev, now Parikshit Maharaj wants to hear the story of this Raja Ambarish. So, this avyayam cha shriyam labdhva vibhavam cha atulam bhuvi. He had attained invincible power and great wealth he had amassed. He was a great king. And the story also has this very good highlight. What is that? If a person has all of these great things and he uses it, like Ravan, he also was a great, powerful king, you know. But then what? Dominating people, oppressing people, stealing from people, you know. Like that. Oppressive rulers. But Ambarish was the opposite. Very nice ruler. Mene tidullavam pumsam sarvatat swapnasan stutam vidvan vibhava nirvanam tamo vishati yat puman. He understood also. Very, very wise person he was. That all of this wealth which he has can drown a person in darkness of ignorance. It means taken over by so much of wealth and power and all of that, people get corrupted and they follow all the wrong things. Rare is a person who doesn't become corrupted by wealth or power. Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts? Absolutely, they say. So, he understanding that it is a very rare thing to get a human birth. Dullabam pumsam. Our Shankaracharya writes also in his Vivek Churamani beginning itself. And Tulsidas writes also in Ramayana how difficult it is to get a human birth. Among all the species on the earth, human beings are just like 0.0001% of all the species. Look how of 1%. It's like 1/1000% or something. We make up. Because if you count all the little bugs and bacteria and all the virus and they're all jivas also. How lucky we are to have this human birth, you know? We could have been born as a bacteria. Bacteria is plural, isn't it? Bacterium. We could have been born as a bacterium somewhere. A terrible thing. That would have taken you back, far back, you know, to be born as a bacterium. But we are born as human beings. And then so many people get this human birth. And then, so the Raja, the king, he understood this very much. You know, it's a rare thing. Durlabam trayame tat. Bhagavan Shankaracharya. 3 very difficult things. The first thing is this, human birth. Then, desire for liberation. And then some good guru. All those 3 things are very rare. So, he thought to himself, I got this human birth and I will not let this power and this wealth and riches and everything corrupt me. They can lead one down the darkness of, the dark channels of life. Like that. Vasudeve bhagavati tadbhakteshu cha sadhushu prapto bhavam param vishvam yenedam loshtavat smritam. So, he had this great love and devotion for Bhagavan Vishnu. And this is one of the running theme of Bhagavatam. If we do not want to get corrupted by wealth and power and nice things of the world, we have to have bhakti for Bhagavan. Knowledge for devotion for the Lord. Once one has devotion for the Lord, the other things will not corrupt us. But he who doesn't have devotion for Bhagavan, he easily becomes corrupt by all the things of the world. His mind becomes impure quickly. You see that now? I tell you, look here. If the person gets 1 million, the moment he gets his first million, he starts thinking how to make his second million. Correct or not? Then nobody on the earth who has gotten 1 million, and then he says, santushtoham, I am now contented. I don't want any more. Please keep it. But I take 10 more. No, you keep it. Nobody will say, isn't it? Amazing thing. So, the only way a person will stop desiring more and more like that is if he has devotion for Bhagavan. This is one of the themes of Bhagavatam. Huh? So he says, that's why he says, Vasudeve Bhagavati, for that Lord, Bhakteshu cha Sadhushu, and for all the devotees of Bhagavan, and for all the sadhus and saints and mahatmas and all, he had great devotion. Prapto bhavam param vishvam, and by that great devotion, he attained the supreme state, param bhavam. And not only that, supreme state, he also, by that wisdom, from association with Bhagavan, he knew that everything on this earth is worth nothing more than a clump of earth. Samaloshtashma kanchana, Bhagavan says in Gita. Means to say, a piece of stone, a clump of earth, and gold, and all worth the... Say, that is true or not? It is absolutely true. Look here, suppose there were no human beings on the earth, right? No human beings. And there is a piece of stone, a piece of gold, and a clump of earth. A little piece of clump of dirt like that. All three of them next to each other. And you first introduce a dog on the earth. Right? Not a human being, a dog. You bring him there. To that dog, which will be worth more there? All? Same, isn't it? Now you bring this human being. For the first human beings also, same, nothing, all same. Then somebody comes along and says, the earth has a lot of stone. The earth has a lot of clay, but it has a little bit of gold. Huh? It means gold is scarce. Based on that fact, he now puts a value. Now, gold is valued more than the other two. So now he puts a value on it. And who is putting the value? Not a dog. Only human beings put value. We say this is worth more than that. And you know that things by themselves is really worth nothing. Because when the dog comes alone, neither of them is worth anything. But the human being comes and superimposes a value on that thing. And then he himself runs after that thing. This thing costs so much and so much. And now he's 1 pound of gold and he says it is worth 20,000, let us say. Then we should go and get more gold now. So we'll get more worth. But he himself put the worth. It's a very peculiar state of human existence. So with knowledge and devotion now, parambhava means the supreme state he had reached. So with that knowledge and devotion for the Lord, he came to realize that nothing in this world is worth anything. It is just like a clump of earth. Everything is like that. That doesn't mean to say that you go now and you give away all your money and gold and car and all things and because it is worth nothing more than a clump of earth. It means I should have knowledge. That is all. I should have knowledge as Ambarish had. Really, it is not worth anything. So now, that knowledge dawned on him and it says, Yena idam loshtavat smritam. Or loshta means a clump of earth, like that. Now, from the next verse onward, Vedvyasi describes, or the author describes Ambarish's devotion. So what really is devotion? Now in this passage, it will be seen. A very nice passage. It says, Save mana Krishna padarvindayoho vacham sivaikunta gunanuvarnane karau harer mandiramarjanadishu shrutim chakara chyuta satkathodaye. He says, this is devotion now he's describing. What is the devotion of Ambarish? He says, Save manaha Krishna padarvindayoho. That the mind is supposed to stay on the feet of the Lord. So the devotion of his mind was always on the feet of Bhagavan. I remember that child my mother told me that if you can keep your mind even on one toe of the Lord,
It doesn't have to be the whole feet also.
Tulsi Das Ji says, Shri Guru Nak. Nak. Nak means a toenail. Toenail also. It doesn't have to be whole foot or whole toe. Toenail, this much only. If we can keep our mind, that mind will become purified by that thing. But people's mind remain dirty because they keep it only on. So one little part of the Lord, one little part of toenail even. But Ambarisha's mind was always on the feet of the... And people ask, you know, young people especially, why you people, Hindu people, only go on thinking about feet? Why don't you think about his head at least? You're only thinking about his feet. So we say, because we want to develop, you know, humility. Because humility is a prerequisite for happiness. Any person who is not humble is a miserable person. He will be miserable like anything. Humility is one of the prerequisites for happiness. Of course, a prerequisite for many other things before happiness. It is required for having true devotion for Bhagwan. It is required for having true knowledge also. And then by devotion and knowledge, we become happy. So it is a prerequisite for knowledge and devotion by which we become happy. So we say, when we think about the feet and we bow down to the feet, we develop humility. That is why we have a Hindu people have a great reverence for feet. We love feet. It's a great feat that we have achieved over the years. But do you know, the Catholic people have also taken that from us, you know? Yes. The Pope washes the feet of people and all. Have you seen? Yes. They have taken many things. Mala. Western religions have taken all of these. Because in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan is so old. Old like the hills. Bhagavan has mentioned japa. So the Western religions have taken many things like that. But anyway, he to keep the mind on the feet of the Lord. The second thing, first of all, the feet is where we will learn humility. Second thing is, knowledge and grace and water. These three things always flow down. They don't flow up. You don't see water going up the mountainside. Water always comes down the mountainside. In the same way, grace and blessings, they always come from up to down also. The child cannot tell the mother, Ma, I bless you. Have you seen blessing going like that up? The mother tells the child, I bless you. Then grace comes down. And knowledge also. You can't go into your classroom and you tell the teacher, okay, sir, sit there, I will teach you now. You can't go and tell the teacher, Professor Saab, bait here. Now I'll teach you a few things. No. The one who is up, he teaches the one who is down. So those two things, three things, flow down. Knowledge and grace and water. So now if we want knowledge from the teacher, from the Lord, we have to go by his feet. And that humility also by bowing there and staying at his feet will make our mind receptive. And this is the whole thing now. It will make our mind receptive to the knowledge and devotion which he will impart to us. We get it at his feet. And nowadays, I tell you, things are getting different and difficult also. Long ago, people used to bow down and touch the guru's feet. Nowadays, I think they have back problems. So now, a lot of back problems are there. So now they bow down and they touch like his knee and all. And then I think slowly it will go up and they'll start touching. Traditions, you know. Anyway, so now Raja Ambarish had great devotion for Bhagwan, and that meant he kept his mind on the feet of the Lord all the time. The mind is supposed to be, the guru's feet is compared to a flower and the mind is compared to a bee. Like that bee is always hovering around that flower. So his feet is, That's why lotus feet. Have you heard? Lotus feet. And the mind is the bee around that lotus. So this is the first description of his devotion. Then, next one, he says, Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanuvarnane. And then his speech was always used to describe Bhagwan and his abode. Bhagwan and his abode where he lived. He's only using his speech to describe that thing. Speech is supposed to be used to describe Bhagwan and speak about Bhagwan and, you know, relate his stories and his kathas and his all such things. That is what we are supposed to use our speech for. Of course, we use for other things also. But even when we speak of the other things, we should think that that is a manifestation of Bhagwan only. Whatever we are talking about. But ordinarily, we forget Bhagwan totally. And then we only talk about, the flood in Texas, and the president this, and that country that, and all the other things of the world only we talk, isn't it? And the price of oil going down, you know. Well, we should see everything as a manifestation of Bhagwan and speak about his greatness. There's a wonderful kahavat in Hindi. Oh, I tell that so many times, but it's so good, you know. It says, Sadhu sadhu se mile, hoi Ishwar ki baat. When one sadhu meets another sadhu, they speak about Ishwara, you know. Bhagwan. Gada gadhe se mile, hoi latam lat. When a donkey meets another donkey, they only kick each other. But when two sadhu, they speak about Bhagwan only. So, he spent his time only speaking about the Lord. For Raja, you know. Otherwise, what do Rajas talk about? Oh, power, position, money, conquering, war. Isn't it armies? Having a great time. Today's modern Rajas, they only have great time everywhere, isn't it? In the eastern part of the world, there are a lot of Rajas still. So they and their private jets and all fly to Las Vegas and different places and all, and have a great time and go back. Where is Bhagwan and all? No Bhagwan. So speaking about the Lord, that was Ambarish all the time. Then, Karau Harer Mandir Majanadishu. And he used his hands to serve all the mandirs and do seva. The king doing seva in all the mandirs. Some form of seva we should all find ourselves. It doesn't matter who. Raja Ambarish, such a king, and he used to go around doing seva. There's a great story of Abraham Lincoln. Some of the stories of Abraham Lincoln are moving, you know. He was coming home on his horse one evening, and he saw a farmer whose cart, bullock cart, had gotten stuck in the mud. And the farmer was, you know, prodding that bull to pull, and the bull couldn't pull it out. And Abraham Lincoln himself came down from his horse, went into the mud, put his back against the cart, and pushed, and told the farmer, now tell the bull to pull. So while he was pushing, the bull was pulling there, and the cart came out. And in those days, of course, there were no CNN and BBC and all, so that farmer did not know this was Abraham Lincoln. He did not know this was Abraham Lincoln. So the farmer made some comment about the president, that we have such a good president. Abraham Lincoln said, when I meet him, I'll tell him. What a great humility of the president to come down from his horse to serve a, to go in the mud and serve a farmer. So those are the great people that walk the earth. But in today's world, so Karau, with his hands, he did seva for all the temples and all around. So I'll tell you. Hanumanji goes to Lanka and he sees Vibhishan. Vibhishan is Rama Bhakta. He's a Bhakta of Rama, devotee of Rama. Right? And Hanumanji is wondering, what is this thing? You are a devotee of Rama. And this Ravana has kidnapped Sita, Rama's wife, and brought her to this Lanka, and you are sitting there and looking. You did nothing. What type of devotee are you? You can't call yourself a devotee of the Lord if you don't do some seva. Seva means, you know, you do some service. Seva in English is service. Service. You do some service for society, for the Lord, for, you know, like that. You have to do something. Otherwise, you cannot, that devotion which you have, therefore, is not ripe. That is some kaccha devotion. Kaccha bhakti. The devotion, when it is ripened, it ripens in the form of seva. The person starts doing something for Bhagwan, doing something for the society. When we say Bhagwan, we mean the society, the community, you know, for the world. The world needs us. So we have to do something. Then it is true devotion. We cannot just say, I love Bhagwan, do nothing. Both this Vibhishan and Sugriva also. Both of them, they were devotees of the Lord, but did nothing. Hanumanji had to prod this Sugriva also. You promised you will do this for the Lord, you did nothing. And Bhagwan also, he sent Lakshmana. He said, you go there and scare that Sugriv. When Sugriv heard that Lakshmana is coming, he started to shake, you know. Both of them suffered terribly, if you notice. Both of their brothers kicked them out, correct or not? Yeah. Because they are devotees, but do nothing. So, a true devotee is one who uses his hand to do seva. I told you that there are two types of people in the world. Those who do seva and the others who just look, they seva. they do nothing. They just watch only. You have to do something. So, it's using his hands. And one more thing about that before I continue. If we are going to do seva, if I am a devotee, and I am not doing seva, then that devotion is green. It has to ripen. And how it ripens? In satsang. That devotion ripens in satsang. Therefore, when Hanumanji went to Lanka and he had satsang with Vibhishan, Vibhishan's devotion became ripened. And the moment Hanumanji left Lanka, Vibhishan marched into the court of Ravan. And Ravan, what you did was wrong. You give back Sitaji now. Now, all the time he was there, he never said anything. But one satsang with Hanumanji, that devotion became ripened into seva. So here now, the king himself doing seva. Seva is a very, very important thing. That is why you see, here now when you come to camp also, some duty is given to everybody. You do this or do that, clean this, move that table, do something. Fix the tablecloth. In ashram, we're teaching, we have brahmachari course going on. Every brahmachari must do seva every day. We also did. My duty was to pick up all the leaves from the garden and burn them. After which I got the name Agni Dev. Agni Dev, fire god. Anyway. So, Karau Harir Mandiramarjanadishu Shrutim Chakar Chuta Sat Kathodhaye. And with his ears, he always wanted to listen to the katha of Hari. Or Hari katha. So a bhakta's ears are supposed to listen to Hari katha all the time. Means stories of the Lord. Not all, what do you call that? These Indian soaps, I tell you, bapre. They have conquered the whole world, you know. I was there in South America, at Argentina or something. Peru, one of them. So a little shop was there. They were selling like agarbatti, tyadi. I saw and smell. That smell was coming. So I went in there. Then I'm knocking on that counter. Nobody was there. Shop is bare. Only everything is displayed and no attendant. Then I listened a little bit more from the back of the shop. One television was playing. And but wait a minute, I'm hearing Hindi? And that television, I was hearing Hindi and then I was knocking and nobody was calling. So I walked through that and I then went there and called. Then I saw Indian soaps. Good Hindi soaps going on there and translated in Spanish. Indian soaps have conquered the whole earth. Every in Russia, everywhere this thing goes on. So people like that like anything. See? But what about Hari Katha? Oh, wow. So, he says, with our ears, we should love to listen to Harikatha. There's one more thing I tell you. When that Ramayana for Ramanand Sagar came out, Ramanand Sagar, Ramayana, when it came out in India, oh, it had really captured everybody's ears and eyes. The streets used to be bare. I remember, people used to be looking at that only. So that sort of thing. Harikatha, listening to these stories and glories of Hari. We should love to hear. It will purify our mind and make us into great human beings. And then, number 19, Mukunda Lingalaya Darshane Drishau Tad Bhritya Gatrasparshenga Sangamam. Now, all five senses he's talking about, listening. Then, which had karma indriya and jnana indriya, all he's talking about. Now sparsha, touch. He said, the king used to go and dance with devotees. You know, the best place to see this is in ISKCON Hare Krishna. Have you been? Oh, all our chicks in Trinidad also, they go and... Huh? It's wonderful. In Mumbai also, I used to go and join some of them there. And in Vrindavan, many times I have gone. And there, to go and dance with the devotees of Bhagwan. Here, people dance in American Idol. What? Not American Idol. What is that called? America's Got Talent. Are there any devotees of Bhagwan there? But you know, when you dance with devotees, so they touch. We touch other devotees also. Like that. That is, otherwise, we like to touch nice, smooth, silky pillow, you know. People like nice touch. Satin and silk, smooth touch, those kind of things we like. A nice teddy bear. We only like to touch all things which make us feel good. So he says here, Mukunda Linga De Darshane, with the eyes to go and get darshan of all the murtis and all the temples of the Lord. To go there and watch the murtis. And feast the eyes on those murtis. So this was the type of devotion which Ambarish Raja had. He reveled in going, I want to go and see this murti in that temple. I want to go and see that murti in that temple. Like that. How beautifully the Lord is decorated and you know, clothed and all that. So with the eyes and then with the skin to touch other devotees who are dancing for the Lord. Ghranam chatat padaraso jasau rabhe shrimat tulasya rasanam tadarpite. It means to say, with the ears, he wanted to smell only those tulsi leaves which had been offered to the feet of Bhagwan. Not just pluck from the tree and smell like that. Smell those leaves which had been offered to the feet of the Lord. And rasanam tadarpite, and with his tongue, taste now, to eat only those things which had been offered to Bhagwan. So, not to smell the tulsi just off the... Rabindranath Tagore has written Gitanjali, you have seen? Tagore in Bengali is pronounced as Tagore or Tagore? Tagore only. Never know, because English came and changed up everything. But Tagore is written as Gitanjali at one place, you see. The flower is talking. A flower is talking. And the flower says, oh dear, please pluck me and offer me to the feet of the Lord. Please pluck me and offer me to the feet of the Lord, because by evening I will wither away and my whole life will go in vain. I would have withered away by evening and life gone and of no use. So let my life be of some use. Pluck me and put me at the feet of the Lord so I can decorate the Lord's feet. So that flower or that tulsi leaf which has made a sacrifice like that to be offered to the feet of the Lord, he wants to smell that one. See, the tulsi leaf, we say, don't pluck the flower. Don't pluck the tulsi leaf because they will be paining or they will have some sorrow, you know. But we say by evening you will be withered away in any case. So why don't you just become an offering to Bhagwan? So like that, that which has become an offering to the Lord, he wants to smell that. That food which has become an offering to the Lord, he wants to eat that. All activity of the human being then becomes an act of devotion to Bhagwan. Even when I eat, that is only eating that which has been offered to God. That is why we say before, you know, Brahmarpanam, Brahmavihi, Brahmagno, Brahmanahutam, like that. First we offer the food to Bhagwan, and then only we eat. So the act of eating also is only eating prasad, which has been offered already. We divinize every act. This is devotion. Divinize every act. One fellow, one Britisher, you know, he was hunting in India. You know, the British people used to go with long guns to hunt tigers. Have you seen? He was hunting a tiger. So then he fired 2-3 shots and he never hit any tiger. So then he turned around and he was going home. Now, while going home, he encountered a tiger. And he had no bullets left. Then he thought, now my only chance is to get down on the ground and pray. Because you can't outrun a tiger. So he went down on the ground and started to pray now. Then, to his amazement and surprise, the tiger also went down on the ground with his two front paws like that and started praying. Then he thought, my God, these Hindu people, they are great. This looks like it is Durga's tiger, you know. Because he had learnt in India they worship tigers because Durga rides on a tiger and this, and he thought, wow. He said, my God, are you Durga's tiger? He said, hey, don't bother me. The tiger said, don't bother me. I'm saying Brahmar Pranam Brahma Vihi. That means to say that when that food is offered only to the Lord by saying Brahmarpanam, then only the Raja will eat. Means you may go there and Nevedyam, Nivedayami, and all of that sort of thing. So the act of eating becomes an act of great devotion, because I am privileged to have some food from Bhagwan's plate, because that was his food just now. So that also is attended with great love. Then, Padau Hare Kshetrapadanu Sarpane Shiro Rishikesha Padabhivandane Kamam Chadasye Natu Kama Kamyaya Yathottamashloka Jadashayaratihi. He says, Padau Hare, now with the feet, what to do? Padau Harehe Kshetrapadanu Sarpane. It means to say, with our feet we should go on pilgrimage. Where all the Lord's Kshetra, you know, pilgrimage sites are there. Now who was telling me all the Savana people, they soon they are going to Kedarnath and all, Badrinath and all in Himalaya. You know, that type of thing with our feet. Otherwise we make nice footstool and put up our feet there. So with those feet, use it to walk to all the Kshetra, what do you call? Tirtha Kshetra, yes. Tirtha Kshetra is it called. Like that. Or go and do parikrama of the temple. In Trinidad, there is the biggest Hanumanji outside in there, in Trinidad. So that is in a big spot there people go and do. You walk around 108 times. A wonderful thing. So like that. Speaking of which, you know, now in Shivratri, coming up Shivratri, coming up in February, in Trinidad, you know, in India, a Hindu is supposed to walk once in his life from taking Ganga Jal from Varanasi, Kashi, and walk all the way down to Rameshwaram and offer that once in the lifetime. The great Eknath, you know, it is said that Eknath did that thing and he came down, it takes 6 months like to go down. And when he reached there, he saw a donkey dying from thirst and gave the water to the donkey. And everybody thought he was pagal. But Bhagwan Shiva from the temple appeared and gave him darshan right there. So that Hindu is supposed to do this once in his life. Now in Trinidad, that thing is not possible. Who will go to India? 500,000 people are there. Who will go there, right? So now we in Trinidad, we started from the north. There is one Ganga. We take Ganga Jal and walk all the way to the south, 100 miles. And there is Swayam Prakat Shiva. Shiva Lingam that came out from the earth itself, all by itself. There we do that offering. So now see that type of teeth, walking for 100 miles. From here, there are people who come. So in February, if you are up to it, come walk 100 miles. It's good for your health also. And your heart. So, this is what the Raja did. Used his foot to go on Tirtha Kshetra. Make parikrama. Shiro Hrishikesha Padabhi Vandane. And his head, he bowed down always. A couple of years ago, we had a big program in the ashram just on this word. Bowing. Big program. And bowing. Bowing, when we bow, makes that personality so suitable for devotion. That's why all Eastern traditions you will see, even Japanese, you know. But we go sashtanga pranam. That type of bowing. It makes the personality really ready for Atma Gnan, for knowledge, and for all of that. And devotion and all. Surrender, have you heard? Surrender means sur-under. Surrender. You have to go down with your head like that. So, this is what he uses head to do, to bow down to all the forms of Bhagwan and all Rishi, Sadhu, Mahatma, iti. And kamam chadasye natu. Kama kamyaya yathottama shloka janashrayartihi. And who always partook of only those things that were offered to the Lord, not out of desire. And this is a very important warning which he puts there. The warning is, you know, look, we used to do as children because we didn't know. But when that they used to make all of those nice sweets and nice halwa and all different things, you know, laddu ityadi, they used to make and bring it to offer to Bhagwan. And we are sitting there, little children, and we are hungry, you know. So before they can offer anything there, we are already eating that in our mind, you know. So he said this, Raja never did any such. And they pass right where you are sitting, you can smell that also. So already you are eating. But he didn't do for that. He ate only after it was offered, and it was so that he will get, through that food, he will get the blessings of the Lord. So I want to eat that only because I will get blessings, because that food comes with blessings. The other one that was not offered comes with no blessings. That is the idea. And then, Yatha uttama shloka janashraya ratihi. And he revel in the company of other people or other devotees of Bhagwan. Uttama Shloka means Bhagwan. Revel in the company of those people who are taken refuge in Bhagwan. A very important thing also, to keep the company of the right people. It's a very, very true. Siddhaji writes verses and verses and verses about this thing called satsang. Keeping the right company, right people in our life. Otherwise, the wrong people lead us down the wrong paths only. So hang out with the right crowd. So yeah, there are nice groups of people who hang out together. I see a group has come from Jacksonville, a group has come from Savannah, a group is right here also in Atlanta. You're hanging out with the right group, right crowd. And this is very important for children. You know, in school, you make sure you hang out with the right people. Because we get caught up with the wrong people. Even though I never meant to get myself in trouble, I will get into trouble just by hanging out with the wrong people. Shakespeare has written at one place, show me your friends and I'll tell you what you are. You just have to show the friends. So if you show me your friends and all your friends are gunda, then I know that you also are gunda because these are your friends. This is how strongly he wrote Shakespeare. So hang out with the right people. Everything will be fine. Last night we saw in the story of Prahlad. Prahlad didn't do anything. He just happened to be in the company of Narad. And he became the great Mahajana, great devotee in Bhagavat. Just by being in the right place, right company. That's all. Binu satsanga vivek na hoi. Without satsang, we'll never become smart. Without the right company, we'll never become smart. So he hung out with the evam sada karma kalapamatmanaha paredhi yagne bhagavatyadhokshaje sarvatma bhavam vidadhan mahi mimam tannishta viprabhita shashasaha. It means he ruled. Shashasaha means he ruled. Shashasaha means he ruled. But how? Viprabhita. Viprabhita means by taking the directives and directions and advice of the wise ones. Rishi, Muni, Sadhu, like that. He took their advice. Actually, this is a very, very old ancient Hindu tradition and it is of absolute importance. That is why in today's world, we have all of these really, really terrible dictators. How many you have heard about? In one of these, Uganda, or some place, on Idi Amin was there, you heard? What a fellow. He took away all people's property and all, chased them out of the country. All Indian people were found all over the world, lost everything. They could not leave with a, only carry on. They had to leave everything behind. Now, how the world has seen all such? Because the leaders, they never take any advice from any wise person. If you see in Ramayana, the moment King Dasharatha ji had to do anything, he consulted Vasishtha immediately. Even to crown Rama, he immediately went there to consult with this guru. So take the directive. No matter how wise, Dasharatha ji was the incarnation of Manu. No matter how wise he was, he is still taking the directives of the teacher. So like that, Ambarish Raja now also. So now see, sometimes we think that devotion is only, you know, you sit down there and you do puja and you do aarti and agarbatti and you smoke out Bhagwan. We think that only is devotion. You go there and... Oh, Bhagwan. Now, see, this is true devotion. All of these things. Let the ears listen to the right thing. Let the eyes see the right thing. Keep the right company. Let the head bow down. Do seva. Let the hands do seva for the Lord. It is true devotion. So, when you want to really learn about this devotion, you have to see this Ambarisha Katha. It's supposed to be love in action, not just sit down there and like Vibhishan. Nothing. So grieve. Big, healthy, hearty, hale and hearty man. Not man, monkey. But he's sitting there. Ravan kidnaps Sitaji. The Jatayu, old bird. Jatayu was so aged. Jatayu tried to save Sitaji from this Ravan. And Sugriv sat there and he saw Sitaji screaming and going. And she, that time she threw down her that some jewel and all. And he's going. And Sugriv sits there. Chi, 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 bechari. Like that. Big, healthy, hale and hearty, you know. So no seva. What devotion? No devotion, you see. So all of that there is in this story. Now, what happened? This Ambarish Maharaj, no, just all these verses and all get very long, you know. There's a long story going on. Ambarish decided that Dwadashi Vrat he wanted to do. He and his wife together now. His wife also very devoted. So they started to do this Vrata. And in that Vrata, they had all of this fasting and Yajna also, Ashwamedha Yajna, giving away of so much of animals and cows and crores of cows that he described. He gave away to all the wise brahmanas and sadhus and all that. It's a great sacrifice he was doing. And then when the time came, he had to feed all the great sages and sadhus, muni, rishi, ityadi. He was feeding everybody. And it is coming up to noontime. And before the noontime, he's supposed to break that fast. Because he had done this whole, all rituals and all of this thing, and all of the fasting, and there was a specific time for so to break that fast and all. Now, 5 minutes to 12, Durvasa Muni comes there now. And Durvasa Muni is known for having great anger, you know. Before that, because of this Ambarish's great devotion to Bhagwan Vishnu, Bhagwan Vishnu was so pleased with him. Bhagwan had sent his Sudarshan Chakra to protect this Ambarish Raja. Sudarshan Chakra was always looking over his head to protect him. So great was his devotion. That great disgust of the Lord has some in his finger like that. That thing is lethal. Not atom bomb also is not so lethal like that. Because atom bomb will drop in one place, then finish. Nagasaki and whatever. Hiroshima. Right? There only it will not affect anybody. But this Sudarshan Chakra, this will follow you wherever you go. Terrible weapon. So he sent that Sudarshan Chakra to protect this Ambarish. Now the Durvasa Muni came there 5 minutes to 12. Maybe 5.5 minutes, whatever. Like some just short time that. Now, he was feeding all the sadhus and all the rishis and munis who had come there. And now Durvasa Muni comes at that time. So the king told now, "Oh great sage, please come and join this feast. I'm feeding all rishi, muni, ityadi." So the rishi said, "But I have to go and take my bath first." So he goes down to the river. Now, and goes to the river, then he started meditating now. Now this time, 1 minute, so quickly Ambarish Maharaj, he consulted all the wise people there, what to do? If I eat, I break my fast by eating before the rishi, it would be disrespect to the rishi because I would have eaten before he ate. I'm supposed to feed all the rishis and then I'm supposed to eat. Then, if I don't eat, then all this Ashwamedha Yajna and all fasting and all things which I did and I'm supposed to break the fast by that time, if I don't break the fast, then I wasted all of this effort. How much effort we put and fasted and all this tapas and all. They all go to waste. So he consulted all quickly there. Then they told, okay, you drink water. Because it is said in the Shastras, water is not considered to be food and it is considered to be food also. Both. So now, it can come on both sides. If it's considered as food, that means he broke the fast. So just drink water. You don't consider as food. Means if you look at it from the other side now, he didn't eat before the rishi. So he satisfied both the things. So he drank that water. Meanwhile, that Durvasa Muni came now. And then through his own, you know, Divya Shakti and all, Divya Chakshu, he knew the Raja had drank water. He got angry like anything. How he started insulting that Ambarish. How dare you eat, you know, what type of yajna you have done and tapas and this and that and done. And a rishi comes and you eat before him and this. Now see, the water can be considered as food and not food also, right? But he's only considering one aspect, one side. And based on that, now he got angry. Listen, every case of anger is because of considering one side only. Eh? This is a very instructive story. Every case of anger is always because of considering only one side. That person only sees his side. So now, he with that anger, he started to abuse this. Then what he did? He took out a lock of hair like this and he threw it on the ground. And that thing turned into a monster. And it pounced on this Ambarish. The lock of hair changed into a monster and pounced on this Ambarish. And that Sudarshan Chakra immediately evaporated that monster with fire. And after evaporating the monster, now it took off behind this Durvasa Muni. Well, he ran every place possible for refuge, to hide. Then that thing was coming, that Sudarshan Chakra coming. Zoom, 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 like this. He was hearing that thing coming, like a jet coming, like rocket. Then he ran to Brahmaji. Brahmaji said, no, nothing doing. You better go fast from here also, because, you know, if it comes here, all of us will be gone. We are only servants of Hari, you know, and there's his Sudarshan Chakra and all of us are devotees of that Hari. And we serve him. We only subordinate to him and all. And we really can't do anything against that Sudarshan Chakra. So you please go. So he ran from there, now ran to Kailash. Lord Shiva now. Prabhu, save me. Bhagavan Shiva said, hey. Save what? See, that will destroy you. I am also Lord of Death. We're both destroyers only. We dissolve things. Anyway, Lord Shiva also told, you know, we are all devotees subject to the Maya of Bhagwan, this, that, and really, I cannot do anything. Nobody could do anything against that Sudarshan Chakra. The best thing I'll tell you is you go and you surrender to Bhagwan Vishnu. Because he's the wielder of that Sudarshan Chakra. You go and surrender to Bhagwan Vishnu. And then wonderful verses that come, and that story comes there. Bhagwan Vishnu now tells, explains to Durvasa Muni when he goes there and surrenders. Prabhu, save me, save me. Bhagwan says very nicely, Aham bhakta paradhinaha hyasvatantra eva dvija sadhubhir grasta hridayaha bhakter bhakta janapriyaha. This is Praman in Bhagavatam. And Tulsidasi uses a line throughout his Ramayana. Bhagavan says, look here, I am also under the control of my devotees. My devotees also control me. So you came to me for refuge. But the best thing if you go and take refuge at the devotee, because I am also under the control of the devotees. Tulsidasi loves this line. When Bharat is going to meet Ram in the forest, Indra tells Brihaspati, Guru Brihaspati, their guru, guru of the gods. He said, Indra tells, Guruji, do something. Don't let Bharat go there. So the guru said, why?
Bharat is going, loves Ram. He's going to get Rama to come back to Ayodhya. Indra says, no, that is the problem. If Rama comes back to Ayodhya, who will kill Ravan? So don't let him meet. So then Bharat asks, so then how do you know that when Bharat goes and tells Rama to come back, Rama is one who upholds his word. Raghukula riti sada chali aai, pran jai baru, bachan na jai. He upholds his word, you know, he came here because the father gave word to Kekeyi, you know, he'll not go back. Indra tells, no, Prabhu, no, Guruji, you don't know. Bhagwan is always under the control of the devotee and Bharat is the devotee. So when the devotee tells, Bhagwan is under the control, he will go back. Like that nice story goes on there. So Tulsidas uses the same thing. Of course, this Bhagavatam is much older than Tulsi Rama, is only 500-600 years old. It is much older, so he gets it from here. So this is the Praman, which is followed in the Bhakti Marga. The Prasthana Traya for Bhakti Marga is Tulsi Ramayana, Bhagavatam, and Narad Bhakti Sutra. They don't think anything about our Brahma Sutra, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad, nothing. They don't care anything about that. They are right also. If we say our Prasthana Traya in Vedanta is Brahma Sutra, Upanishad, and Bhagavad Gita. So our Prasthana Traya. They say nothing doing. This is Bhagavatam, Tulsi Ramayana, and Narad Bhakti Sutra. And the Praman is here, I mean the authority is Aham Bhakta Paradhinaha. We are dependent on the Bhakta. Aswatantra Iva Dvija. Oh Brahmana. It is as though I am not free. I am dependent on the devotee. Whatever the devotee tells. Sadhu Vihi Grasta Hridayaha. Our heart has been taken over by the sadhus. Our heart is stolen away by sadhus. So Suradas once told Bhagavan Krishna, Prabhu, look here. I've been waiting for you for so long. Bhagavan went to get darshan of Suradas. I was waiting for you for so long. Good, you have come. Bhagavan said, really? What have you been waiting for? I've been waiting to give you my heart. Bhagavan said, what do you mean you've been waiting to give me your heart? Yes, I know you don't have any heart, so I want to give you mine. You don't have any heart, so I'm going to give you my heart. So Bhagavan said, what do you mean I don't have any heart? So Suradas said, yes, you don't have any heart because your heart is stolen away by Radha. So you are heartless, yes, bereft of any heart. Like that, the heart of the Lord is always stolen away by the devotees. This is what he's telling. See, all of this has come from his story in Suradas Charita. Now, how it has come, all has come based on this line. Very famous line it is. Sadhu bhi, by the sadhus, grasta hridayaha, our heart becomes swallowed up, taken away. Bhaktaihi bhakta janapriyaha. And we are lovers of the devotees only, whatever the devotees dictate. Therefore, I tell you, again he continues, matsevaya pratitam cha salokya adishu tushtayam nechanti sevaya purnaha kuton yat kala vidrutam. It means to say that which devotees he's talking about? Those devotees who have no desire for any of the four types of mukti, moksha, no salokya, sarupya, samipya, sayujya and all that. None of it. They have no desire. They only have love for me. They don't have any desire for any of the worldly things also. All worldly wealth, power, position, this, that, nothing. Lokeshana, vitteshana and putreshana. All of these eshanas. Means the different types of desires we have in this world. They have none of that. They only have love for me. They don't even have any love for any moksha, mukti, nothing. Bharat tells to Ganga, Arthana, Dharma, na Kama, Ruchi. I don't want any Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Gati, na Chahur, Nirvan. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Nothing I want. What? Janama, Janama, Rati, Rama, Pada. Let me have birth after birth so that I can love the feet of Ram. like this. This is devotion, bhakti siddhanta. I don't want moksha and all. I want to have birth after birth so that I can revel in devotion for the Lord. So here now he's saying also, this is the type of devotee to whom we become subservient. To whom I become subservient, the Lord is telling. And so, if you really want to be saved, you go and you surrender to Ambarish. Now Durvasa Muni. See, all full circle, isn't it? From there now, full circle, he had to go back to Ambarish. Now when he went there and he prostrated and said, save me to Ambarish also, because of the humility of the bhakta. He's such a great devotee. He said, Hare, you're prostrating to me? No, don't prostrate. He's so humble also. How is such a great muni will prostrate to me? No. Then he did not know what to do. So then he composed a whole hymn on that Sudarshan Chakra to get his mind off this, you know, muni is prostrating to me. He pulled his mind away and started glorifying that Sudarshan Chakra, and the whole hymn is there on Sudarshan Chakra only. Long hymn. Like that. And after he was finished, the muni also sang praises of this Ambarish, Raja Ambarish. Durvasa Muni sang his praises. So, devotion to the Lord is given in what really is devotion, not just, you know, all the rituals and things which we do, but really to get our hands and feet busy in doing Bhagavat karma, means the Lord, the work of the Lord. Ram kaj karibe ko atur yahar. How Hanumanji is busy doing the work of Ram. When he goes to Lanka, Mainak Parvat comes out and tells, no. Parvat tells, take a rest, no, eat something, drink something. Once I was having this, I don't remember which city, the camps with the youngsters, you know. And they had to enact this. Hanumanji is flying to Lanka. And then Mainak Parvat is a mountain. Mountain comes out and tells Hanumanji, you take a rest, eat something, drink some Mountain Dew. Because mountain, now what he'll give? Youngsters come up with all nice things, I tell you. So, that time Hanumanji tells a very nice thing. He touches that mountain and he says, Ram kaj ki inhe binu mohi kaha bishram. Hanuman te parasa karapuni kina pranam. Ram kaj ki inhe binu mohi kaha bishram. Until I have finished the work of Ram, where is there any rest for me? But that is the mark of a true devotee. You see? See, in that same Ramayana, Sugriv is there, Vibhishan is there, but Hanuman is the only one doing seva. Isn't it? And that's why he has the closest place in Rama's heart. And the other two, they have so much trouble in life. On the run all the time. Because it's only pseudo devotee. Pseudo means? Not pseudo. Halfway devotee. Half, unripe. So we should make sure that we get into some sort of seva. For many years, I've been thinking, what an enormous task to organize this camp, you know. Every year I've been thinking. And Raghuji and Gitaji, they're organizing this camp with so much of effort. Poor fellow. His energy will run out. But it doesn't run out. I've been thinking, and he seems to be having more energy every year. The other thing about a devotee, when he does Bhagavat karma, karma of the work, Ram Kaj, when he does the Kaj of Bhagwan, Kaj means the work of the Lord. He gets more energy also. Goes on and on. So, what really is devotion is, it amounts in the end really to seva. The final step of devotion is really seva is devotion made visible. Otherwise, that is there in the heart only. It does nothing. It's devotion made visible. And then the second very important point is here. Bhagwan says in Ramayana there, and here also he's telling directly, the Lord is telling to Durvasa Muni now. We are always under the control of our devotees.
Those are the two very, very important things to take away from this. Ambarish. Raja Ambarish Katha. Now, it goes on longer and longer. A lot of lines and verses on Ambarish yet goes on. Eh? But the devotion part is this. All right. Okay. Now tomorrow. Now, yesterday I did not know what I will take today. And today I don't know what I will take tomorrow also. You know. Bhagavatam is very big, you know. It's 4 volumes that I just brought one. And from that only one little. Yeah. We'll see that now tomorrow.
आओ गुरुदेव दर्शन दीजो आओ गुरुदेव दर्शन दीजो तुम हो जगत के दाता तुम हो जगत के दाता
Held to be Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh also. So this is what the line is saying.
Tumi ho Brahma, tumi ho Vishnu, tumi ho. Tumi ho Brahma, tumi ho Vishnu, tumi ho Brahma.
रक्षक शरण संरक्षक
पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ओम शांति 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 हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः।